Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. So we have a sponsor from very far away geographically tonight. I was just talking to somebody today on the phone, a phone call with somebody. We were talking about how, you know, a lot of bad things came out of COVID, obviously. But to me, as a teacher of Torah, one amazing thing came out, which is that virtual learning and virtual teaching literally opened up a whole new world. And the pun is very much intended, and it would not have been something, I mean, there was a silver lining in terms of the Harbatzos HaTorah and the Zrizos for Torah learning that came from this through virtual learning. So our sponsor who is on this evening is all the way from Sydney, Australia. So Jody, I actually Googled what time is it in Sydney, Australia. It is right now, if everybody wants to know, Friday, February 11th at 12 p.m. noon. That's right. Okay, so we don't see her face. Where is she? Oh, yeah, you're right there. Oh, yeah, wave to everybody, Jody Kofsky. Okay, there you are. Okay, is it true? Is it noon? Is it noon now, Erev Shabbos? Yes, it is. Okay, so all the way from Sydney, Australia, we thank Jody Kofsky, who joins us during this year. So last night I mentioned we have Flatbush and Baltimore. So Baruch Hashem, the Torah can travel great distance. And Jody wrote, what is the sponsorship for? An appreciation and support of the heartfelt, amistic, contagious Torah that we learn together, with special gratitude for the Zoom shiurim that are specifically on an Australian-friendly time. So we thank Jody very much for her sponsorship, and I just think it's amazing how technology, of course, could be used, chalila, for bad, but also, as the shiur proves and reminds us, it could really be used for good, and Baruch Hashem, the Torah should continue to spread in our communities, in our homes, in our lives, and around the world. And we thank you, Jody, very much, all the way from New York to Sydney, Australia. Amazing. Okay, so I see my mother-in-law's joining us this evening. Welcome, Ima. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us. So let us begin with our learning. We are still learning lessons from the life of Rabbi Tarfon. Last week we spoke about tzedakah. If you remember opening your hand, how we're supposed to judge others, not all the same measure, and how the Ribbono Shel Olam said, judges us, poseach hatzedakah u'maspir l'chol haratzon. So I'm going to continue with the biography of Rabbi Tarfon. Remember, he was a Tana who flourished in the period immediately following Churban Bayis Sheni. He was a member of the Sanhedrin in Yavne, and he was also a teacher and colleague of the great Rabbi Akiva. We learned that he bedecked the bride. Remember when the bride, he felt, wasn't adorned enough, he took her to his wife and daughter, and he had them dress her up more beautifully. And he was a Kohen who took that very seriously, even though he lived in the aftermath of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He was very wealthy. He gave large donations. Remember, he told Rabbi Akiva, buy me towns. And then Rabbi Akiva gave the money to Tzedakah, and he said, where are my towns? And he said, Tzedakah is the only thing that lasts forever. That's the last thing we spoke about. Okay, so until now, pretty much we've been talking about how Rabbi Akiva did for other people. And now we're going to talk about something else in a different aspect of the life of Rabbi Akiva. And this is actually a topic that I hold very close to heart. I think it's very important for us to discuss and learn about this topic, because Klal Yisrael are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. We are people who are merciful and bashful, and a people of Gemidas Chasad. We spend so much time as a community doing for others, Baruch Hashem. Just this morning, I gave a shiur on how the Ketoras, as the Netziv, represents Gemidas Chasad. Just this past Sunday, I don't know if anybody logged on or saw any of it, they had the A-Time Shasathon. So A-Time is a organization dedicated, stands for a Torah and Fertility Medium of Exchange. They had the Shasathon, which is that pairs of learners get together under one roof and they complete the entire Shas, Imamish Mekasiyama Shas, in one day. Shas Talmud, now Mishnah is a schus for couples, and they do so many good things. A-Time, and they raise mamish just shy of $6 million. Mika Amcha Yisrael, it's just mind blowing. $6 million to further support the good work of A-Time, and not to take away anything. I mean, Rabbi Shai Schechter was one of the pairs of learners with Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, so we gave a donation to his page, and my adult son also gave. So I'm not taking away anything from those organizations. Mikan Chesra. Where would we be without people like founders of Hatzalah and the Rosens who founded A Time and Tom Cheshabbos? My brother got a flat tire, so before he called AAA, he wanted to call Chaverim. So obviously, we are a tremendous people of Gomle Chasadim. So far, we have been learning about the life of Rabbi Tarfon in terms of what he did for others. We learned he used his wealth to perform many acts of kindness, such as bedecking the bride and beautifying her for her wedding. We learned about the importance of giving charity. He learned from Rabbi Kiva that that is the only thing that lasts forever. We learned last time we ended, he used his status as Kohen to help others. He would return the money to the father of the firstborn by the pigeon Bechor. Furthermore, he once betrothed, we said this last time, 300 women during a famine so they could eat truma, even though he didn't consummate the marriage. Once he betrothed them, they were permitted to eat the truma because he was a Kohen. So until now, we've been focusing on Rabbi Tarfon doing for others. And now we're going to talk about a different aspect of the life of Rabbi Tarfon, and that is the importance of what Rabbi Tarfon did for his family. And I think that sometimes this, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no, we spend so much time learning and talking about how much we must do for others in the community, and we must. No one leaves Shiran Sei Michal, it says we shouldn't give Tei Time, we shouldn't give Tatzal, we shouldn't give to Tom Cheshabbos, we shouldn't give to Chavirim. That is not what I'm saying, that's not what I believe, that is not correct. But sometimes when we're so busy focusing on everybody else, sometimes it might happen that it may be Chas V'Sham at the neglect or at the detriment to our family. So now I continue with the biography of Rabbi Tarfon. Neither did Rabbi Tarfon, after learning everything about how much Rabbi Tarfon did for others, neither did Rabbi Tarfon ignore his family's needs and wants. He was careful to provide his wife and his children, I'm quoting from the art school biography of the Tanaim and Maraim, careful to provide his wife and children with all their festival needs and purchase gifts for them before each Yom Tov in accordance with the rabbi's instructions, which is that shoes and colorful clothing for the woman and nuts for the children. So we're talking about, you know, more than 2,000 years ago, shoes and colorful clothing for the women. So it's interesting how not much has changed. In this week's Parshas Tetzaveh, we learn all about the importance of begadim from the Big Day Kuhuna. So he was very careful to provide his family with what they needed, including shoes and colorful clothing for the women and nuts for the children. Today, I'm not sure how excited the kids would be if you gave them, you know, almonds and pistachios, but translate that into the store called O-Nuts, which means candy, gum, and chocolate. So it's something to bring simcha to his family. So the chesed that he was doing for other people was not at the detriment or self-sacrifice of his family. He was extremely careful. Furthermore, another aspect of family, he was extremely careful. Oh, not yet. One second. He was this just is like an intermission. So wife and children was very important. He was extremely careful to guard himself from even a hint of immorality. A student once mocked him for this. He could not understand why a sage as righteous as Rabbi Tarfon was required to be so scrupulous and so careful. If you're such a tzaddik, then what do you need to be so careful for? The student himself, ended up committing a serious sin. This is told in Maseches Kedushin 81b, apparently as a punishment for scoffing at his teacher. So just one comment on that until we go back to the main part of the shir, which is that I've heard Rabbi Shai Shachter say in the name of his father, Shri, to the Rosh Hashiva of Hershel Shachter, when you live in a time when society takes, there's such a lack of morals in society, and there's such an extreme pritzos, a breach of gedder pritzos in society, so we must go to the opposite extreme and be very, very scrupulous and very, very careful. So we live in a time, unfortunately, where sexual immorality, Gilead Arayis, is rampant. So we must be very, very careful. Rabbi Shachter has told us over in regard to questions when it comes to Hilchos Yichud, to be very careful to go to the other extreme, because when society breaches the fence, prorates Gadar in a certain area, means the Yetzer Hara for that is so, so strong. And we need to be very, very careful. Obviously, everyone consults with their Rav when you have a question, but we need to be very, very careful, very, very on guard, specifically in that realm, in that area, because it means that the Yetzer Hara in that time is very, very, very strong. So Rabbi Tarfon was very scrupulous and careful not to be associated at all with any hint of immorality, and a student who once mocked him for this ultimately ended up sinning to show him that you can never be what does Chazal say in Pirkei Avos? Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Do not believe in yourself until the day of your death. A person should never, you know, rest on their laurels and think my avodas Hashem is finished. Going back to his devotion to family, first we spoke about devotion to his wife and his children, taking care of their needs. Furthermore, Rabbi Tarfon's devotion to his parents was extraordinary. When his mother became elderly, he would bend down and she would climb onto him to get into bed. I don't know if they didn't have step stools or how high the bed was or if he wanted his chus, But when his mother was elderly, he would bend down and she would climb onto him, use him like a ladder or stool to get into bed. Similarly, whenever she wanted to come down from her bed, he would bend down and she would climb down on him to reach the floor. That's from the Gemara Maseches Kedushin, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. She once lost her footwear in the courtyard, her shoes, and she left her bed to search for it. Rabbi Tarfon placed his hands under her feet as she walked to protect her from becoming soiled. So I'm sure you've heard that story about the rabbi who put his hands under his mother's feet so she could walk on them. That was none other than the man of the past hour, I should really say past 2 months, a little bit of a break for certain topics. It's the Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon placed his hands under her feet as she walked to protect her from becoming soiled. When the sages came to visit Rabbi Tarfon, she said to them, quote, pray for, it's from Maseches Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Kedushin, pray for the welfare of my son Tarfon, for he treats me so very respectfully. Okay? So we see that he was exemplary in both respect and taking care of the concerns and needs of his wife and children, and also extraordinary and exemplary in his respect and kibud and yira of Horim, to the point where his mother said to the fellow sages, pray for the welfare of my son Tarfon, for he treats me so very respectfully. So what I want to talk about tonight is this very important idea of while we must focus on the needs of our community, because Kal Yisrael is a tzibur. Remember I told you, Rabbi Zavlov said tzibur stands for tzaddik bein oni rasha. We are made up of many type of Jews, and we all take care of each other, and there is mamish no one like Am Yisrael Mika, Am Chai Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, where the people feel so connected and related, and we take care of each other. But tonight's year is not going to focus on that. Tonight's year is going to focus on taking care of the people who we are closest to, and not neglecting them in order to do for the community. So there's a very interesting medrash. This is Medrash Tanchuma. Okay. I originally heard from Parshas Chayisar. I originally heard Rabbi Shai Shechter tell this over many years ago. And here it is. I'm quoting you directly from Medrash Tanchuma from the source. Okay, so the Medrash first tells us that Hashem was very involved in Chesed. There's a similar Gemara Masecha Sota, Yudal and Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that the Torah is Tchilaso Gmilas Chasadim Vesofa Gmilas Chasadim. The Torah begins with acts of loving kindness of God and ends with God's act of loving kindness. And then it gives different examples of Gmilas Chasadim said that Hashem does. So the Medrash here says, "V'haya Yaakov Yoshev uboche ala." Yaakov was crying when his mother Rivka died. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, HaKodesh Baruch Hu said, Yehe Yaakov Yoshevu Mitzta'er. Is it possible that my dear precious Yaakov Avinu, who is known as the Bechir Shaba Avos, his mother died, and he's sitting and he's crying over here, near Elopanim, I will appear to him, near Elopanim, I'll show him my face. In other words, Hashem is going to be Menachem Avel to Yaakov. Okay? And the Gemara in Sota says, similarly, Hashem does Nichum Avelim. There he does it to Yitzchak, and the Gemara here it says that Hashem does Nichum Avelim to Yaakov. Okay? Like the Pasuk says, and Hashem appeared to Yaakov. And furthermore, the Medrash says, V'sofa chesed, and the end of the Torah is chesed, how we learn it, Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe Rabbeinu, kishen nistaleik kaver oso. Tying to Parshas Tetzaveh, why is Moshe's name absent from Parshas Tetzaveh, this week's Parsha? Many reasons are given, but one of the famous reasons is, it is always read the week of Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar is the Yurtzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, so on Zayin Adar, Moshe was taken away, made absent from us, to indicate that he was made absent from us, his name is omitted from Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, so going back to the Medrash. So, Sofa Chesed, the Torah ends with Chesed. Umi Moshe, you learn this from Moshe, Kishenistaleik Kavaro. So, when Moshe died, who's going to bury Moshe? Lo Yada Ish Eskru Aso Adhaya. No man knows the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu until this very day. So who's going to bury Moshe? He has to have proper kavura. So who buried him? Shenemer vayikbro so bagai beretz Moav. We know at the end of Devarim, Paraglam Medala, we are told that he buried him in the depression. Who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Have kol orchos Hashem chesed v'emes. So you see that all the ways of Hashem are chesed and emes. And the Gemara in Sota gives other examples. He clothed the unclothed to Adam and Isha. He did Bikur Cholim to Avram Avinu post Bris Milah. He did Nechum Avelim to Yitzchak after Avram died. And the Gemara also says about this bearing of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Medrash tells us that Kol Orchos Hashem Chesed V'Emes. All the ways of Hashem are Chesed V'Emes. Okay. Amar Avram. Avram came along. Now we know that there are three the Midrash, the Mishnah tells us right in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Al Shlosh Hadvarim Ha'olam Omeid, Al Torah Val Avoda Val Gemilas Chasadim. The world stands upon three pillars, right? Right in the beginning, Shimon Atzadik Hay Mishari Knesses Agadala Hu Haya Omer, Al Shlosh Hadvarim Perak Alf Mishnah Beis and Pirkei Avos, Al Torah Val Avoda Val Gemilas Chasadim. The Torah stands on the pillar of the world stands on the pillar of Torah. Prayer, used to be Karbanos, and acts of loving kindness. And we know that each patriarch, it's like a Venn diagram, each patriarch represents one of these kochos. So Torah corresponds to Yaakov. Yaakov holds up the world with Torah. Ish tam yoshev olim. Avoda corresponds to Yitzchak. He was the avoda of the Ola Tamima, the Karban. And then we see him praying, Lasuach Basada. And then he's standing in the corner davening for his wife. So Yaakov is the pillar of Torah that holds up the world. Yitzchak is the pillar of avoda that holds up the world. And Avram is the pillar of Gemilas Chasadim that holds up the world. I didn't make that up on my own. It's very commonly quoted that those three pillars mentioned at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, each one represents a different patriarch, including Rav Lau and Pirkei Avos. Rav Lau Shlita brings that down. So you see that Gemilas Chasad holds up the world. And Avram Avinu was a Baal Gemilas Chasad. He was the Bechinas Chasad, the essence of Gemilas Chasad. So that's what the Midrash continues. Amar Avram v'dibek b'midas chesed. Avram got up and he saw how Hashem behaved, so to speak, and Avram said, I'm going to do midas chesed also. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now Avram's whole life is chesed. Avram took Lot when he was orphaned. Avram was Megayer people. Avram set up an Eshel to give people a Chila Shasiya Leviya. He planted an Eshel tree where he gave people to eat, to drink, and he accompanied them on their way. He davened for the people of Sodom and Amorah to be saved, the cities of the Arei HaKikar, which is a Chesed. He did Chesed for the Malachim. My daughter just told me, I was just talking to her this week, so she's Baruch Hashem so happy in seminary. She was telling me about a class of Vav they have with rabbits and she enjoys her classes so much. They were learning all about Chasen and Echnasis Archim. From who? The whole story of Avraham Avinu. There's a whole Vad on being Machnas Archim, but it's interesting. Rabbi Tzin Gottlieb was also teaching them not only how to welcome guests, but how to be a guest, which I thought was very, very interesting. How to be a guest. You should go in, my daughter said. She said you should offer to help. If it's Erev Shabbos, don't come too much before Shabbos, she told the girls. You know, don't be there for 5 hours. They have to serve you. Come close to Shabbos, so you're not a tircha. And then Rabbi Tzin Gottlieb, she said, also you should ask to help. And I love this because, you know, sometimes you have guests in the house. Could you help? And if they say, the hostess says no, Rabbi Tzin Gottlieb said, the best thing to do is just leave. Go out of the kitchen. Don't stand there. If they give you something to do, fine. And if they tell you there's nothing to do, then the best thing you could do is get out of their way. So my daughter just had a whole vav this week on learning about Gemilas Chesed from Avraham Avinu. Amar Avram v'dibek b'midas Chesed. Avram got up and he clung to the Midah of Chesed. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Shali haisa Hamidah Hazos. Shali haisa Hamidah Hazos. Wait a minute, Avram. You're the Bechinas Chesed? This was my Midah, Avram Avinu. V'ata achazaz saba. And you grabbed onto la'achoz ba. You're holding onto my Midah of Chesed. Chayecha, I swear by your life, Shani osa oscha kayotzebi. I swear by your life, I will do for you like is done for me. So Hashem's going to reward Avraham Avinu, okay? So Hashem is the Bechinas Chesed. Hashem is the Gomel Chasadim Tovim. He is the Konei HaKol. He created the world, Olam Chesed Yibanes, as David HaMelech, in Tehillim. And furthermore, he is the Tova Meiti. We already gave various examples of God's Chesed, both from Sota Yodalit Aleph, and also from this Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Chayisara. Then we went to Pirkei Avos Perak Aleph Mishnah Beis. The world stands upon three pillars, Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. We quoted Rav Lau Shlita and many other commentators who say each pillar corresponds to one of the patriarchs. The pillar of Gemilas Chasad is Avram's pillar. So you see that Klal Yisrael was built on the foundation of Gemilas Chasad, of doing acts of kindness. And then the Medrash tells us, we continued in the Medrash, Avram stood up and he clung to the Midah of Chasad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wait a minute, Shali Haisa HaMidah Zos. That was my Midah. You grabbed onto it. I swear by your life, I will do with you like is done for me. Ani osa oscha kitz yotzebi. I'm going to do for you like is done for me. Minayin, where do you learn this from? And now the Midrash quotes a pasuk from Daniel. And I looked up the pasuk in Daniel. And the pasuk in Daniel is from Perek Zayin, pasuk Tes in Daniel. It describes a vision of God. The pasuk says, I was looking until the thrones were set above. And the Ancient of Days, the Atik Yomin, sat, Levushe Kislag Chivar. His garment was as white as snow. The Medrash now says, Hashem says to Avram, that was my midah. You grab the midah of chesed. I'm going to do for you, Avram, like is done for me. And now the Medrash quotes a pasuk from Sefer Daniel, Perek Zayin, pasuk Tes. I didn't say the whole pasuk in the Lashon of the Ksuvim because it's Aramaic. So I looked it up and I'm just telling you the relevant part for this teaching. I was looking until the thrones were set above, and the Ancient of Days, that's referring to God, the Atik Yomin, the ancient one who is here from before days, sat, so God is sitting on his throne, his levush, kislag chivar. Okay, his raiment, his clothing, his garment of God was as white as snow. So Hashem is wearing some sort of white garment, so to speak, in this vision. Maksiv lamala min ha'inyan, va'achri chen kavar avram asar ishto. Amad v'nat falba. What is written right after God says to Avram, I'm going to give you what I have. I, God, have a white coat. You're such a Baal Chesed. I'm going to give you a white coat. This is a badge of honor. It means you're a man of Chesed. What is written right there, right immediately before Avram gets the white coat? And afterwards, Avram buried Sarah, his wife. Parachav Gimel, Parshas Chayisar. I told you this is Medrash Tanchuma, the Parshas Chayisar. Avram buries Sarah, his wife. Okay. He purchases, she dies, he comes, the spodosar, v'lev kosa, v'yakam al p'nei meso, he gets up, he speaks to the b'nei ches, he says, listen, I need to negotiate a burial plot, 500 silver shekels, one of the tests of Avraham Avinu. He buries his wife. That's the medrash. Amal v'nat faba, he stood up and he took care of her. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ra'ui atala atara, you are worthy of a crown. You buried your wife, you're getting my white coat, and you're worthy of a crown. What does the white coat symbolize? Hashem does chesed, and now Avram is the bechinas chesed, and now Avram's getting a white coat. And then the next pasuk says, "V'Avram zakein bo bayamim, v'Hashem beirachas Avram b'kol." That's how the medrash ends. V'Avram zakein bo bayamim. It should sound familiar to you, if not from Perach of Dalet pasuk Aleph, but also because it's customary to say it on Rosh Chodesh after Halal. Avram zakein bo bayamim. Avram was old, coming on in years. V'Hashem beirachas Avram b'kol. So this is a very beautiful medrash. Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Chayisara. So Rabbi Shai Shechter asked the following question: Avram Avinu's whole life was one of doing chesed. We have just given many examples of the chasadim that Avram Avinu did. My daughter had a whole vad in seminary on how we learn all about chesed, specifically from Avram Avinu. So what's the kasha? Why did God wait? This is the end. When he gets the white coat, it's the end of Avram Avinu's time in the spotlight. Okay, at the end of Perach of Gimel, when he buries his wife after he buys a Maris HaMechpeh for 400 silver shekel, now he's basically, his time in the spotlight is over. He transfers the reign for one Perach over to Eliezer. There's a Kan Beso, Hamosha Bechala Sharlo, and Simna Yadcha Tachas Yerechi, Asisa Medi Chesed Ve'emes. Now I'm quoting from Yaakov Avinu. Put your hand under my thigh and find a wife for my son. Eliezer finds Rivka, and that's it. We know very little about Avraham Avinu after this. Perach of Hey, he marries Keturah, he has more children with her, and then he dies. We don't know anything about Avraham Avinu after this. So Avram is the Bechinas Chesed. He grabs God's Kmid of Chesed. He mamish spends his whole life doing for other people. But when does Hashem give him a white coat? When he buries his wife. Rabbi Shai Shechter said, he buried your wife, you get a white coat, it means you're such a Baal Chesed. Any normal person would do this. You have to get an award because you buried your wife. It's a normal thing to do. It's expected. She died. Now it's time to bury her. So Rabbi Shai Shechter proposed that perhaps we learned from here this years ago. Perhaps that we learned something fundamental from here. What's the Medrash teaching us? He said, you can't be so busy doing for the whole world that you forget about the people closest to you. And you forget about the people in your very own home. And you forget about your family. Yes, of course. Don't misunderstand anything I'm saying tonight. Of course we have to give to these wonderful organizations. Of course we should all be Osik and Tzarchei Tzibur. We are part of Klal Yisrael. We take care of each other. Everywhere you go, you see another Yid. You feel like, oh, I'm related to them. What other nation feels like we're related? We all feel like we're related to Jody Kofsky. I never met you. You're in Sydney, Australia. I know what time licht benching is for you. It's 12:30. You're taking out. We think we're taking out. We're having a serious snafus to join a cheer Thursday night. You're joining a few hours before that. We feel like we're related. Why do you feel like you're related? Because Klal Yisrael is a nation. But don't be so busy doing for other people to the expense or to the detriment of the people who are closest to you. So when did Avram get a white coat? I read you the whole Lashon of the Medrash. When did Avram get a white coat? Not when he adopted Lot, and not when he did for Sodom and Gomorrah, not when he welcomed the Malachim, and not when he set up an Ishal. You know when he got a white coat? You buried Sarah? Good job. Now I know you're truly the Bechinas Chasar. And now I know you're deserving of the same levush that I, God, the Atik Yomin, wear. And I'm going to bring some proofs for this. I'm quoting from Rabbi Pesach Kron. This is the Sefer, the Maggid at the Podium. Okay? The Maggid at the Podium, I'm always very happy to say, you should know by now where I'm quoting from. And in the Maggid at the Podium, Rabbi Pesach Kron has a chapter on Rabbitson Kanievsky. Now, Rabbitson Kanievsky was a woman, a tzaddikas, who was a mamish tzaddikas, married to the Gadol Ador, Shlita, Yibadol Chaim Tovim Ve'aruchim, Rav Chaim. Her grandfather was Rav Aryeh Levine. You know Rav Aryeh Levine was? Rav Aryeh Levine was the master Baal Chasar in our day and our time. He was the father of prisoners. If you never read his biography by Simcha Raz, you should go read it. He's devoted his whole life to doing for others. He walked every Shabbos. That was her grandfather, Robertson Kanievsky. Walked every Shabbos to the prisoners to be with them. They weren't dati. It didn't matter. He loved every Jew. Every Jew. That was her grandfather. And her home was legendary. It was open to all. It says in her biography that there was one, she bought 2 bottles of grape juice for herself before Yom Kippur because she needed the koach. And she said, these are for me. Even though everything else in our house is for everybody, all the people who come and take whatever they want, these are for me. Then her daughter discovered that half the bottle of grape juice was drunk and she felt very bad. She said, Ima, should we write on this? You know, that it's just for the Rabbanit. It's just for Ima. And Ima said, Ma pitom. That's what it says in the biography. Ma pitom, what are you talking about? You know everything in the house doesn't belong to me and Abba. It belongs to anyone who walks in here. But this is how Rabbi Pesach Kron ends the chapter on Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Allah HaShalom. What touched me most about the Rebbetzin was her family life. She had 5 daughters and 3 sons. Her grandchildren were already grandparents. Her grandchildren were grandparents. She was a great, great, great grandmother. Rav Chaim Shlita and the Rabbitin always wanted their family to live close to them. Rabbi Pesach Kron writes, I don't know if this is true, I don't know how this could be true, but he writes, I was told that the furthest any of their descendants lived from them was a 10-minute walk. I can't imagine, I don't know. These children came to the Rabbitin once a week. She knew each one's name, what school they attended, and what they were up to. This is what family life was to her. This is what made her so special. Her public role did not interfere with her private role. In his younger years, when his mother was still alive, now remember, okay, this is going to tie into Rabbi Tarfon very, very much. I'm also tying it into the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Torah, Avodah, and Gnes Chasadim. Gnes Chasadim being the pillar of Avraham Avinu. But if you remember, we learned from Rabbi Tarfon, not only was he makri to take care of his family right before the Yamim Tovim, clothing, shoes, and nuts, but also he excelled in Kibbur Avaim. Okay? In his younger years, when his mother was still alive, Rav Chaim Shlita used to go to his parents' house every morning. His mother would make him a little breakfast. After all, she was still his son, even if he was a gadol. When his mother passed away, Rav Chaim stopped visiting. He didn't expect his father, Zatzal, to make him breakfast. One day, Rav Chaim met his father, the stipler. The stipler said, I also enjoyed your visits. Rav Chaim was upset. He thought his visits might disturb the stipler when he would be learning. From that day on, Rav Chaim went every day to have breakfast with his father. Also, I know Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, his mother lived in the Pinsker building, and Rav Nassim Tzvi, Zecher Tzadik of Recha, would go every single Friday morning. And we know how ill he was, how not well he was, to visit his mother. So when we're talking about such gedolim, we learn this from Avraham Avinu. Of course you should be involved in chesed for the community. Of course you should be part of the tzibur. You should never be, Chazal say, al tifrosh min tzibur. Okay, there's a lot of time to Pirkei Avos this evening. Different Mishnahs, and the life of Rabbi Tarfon. You should never be poorish min tzibur. Of course not. However, you shouldn't devote your life so wholeheartedly to the tzibur and the kehila that you never have time, resources, emotions, or abilities for your family. Sometimes we might be so busy in our public roles that in our private roles, that aspect suffers. And that would be a great injustice. Because when did Avram get the white coat? After he buried his wife. I read you the Midrash. Rav Chaim is a sister, Rebbetzin Ahuva Barzam, who was widowed at a very young age. After their mother passed away, Rebbetzin Barzam moved into her parents' home to take care of their father. After the stipler was nifter, Rav Chaim continued to visit his sister every day. Remember, first he visited his mother, then he stopped because he didn't want the stipend to make him breakfast. The stipend said, I also enjoyed your visits. Then he would go have breakfast every morning with his father. And after he passed away, he would continue to visit his sister every day until his old age made it too difficult for him to do so. Thereafter, he visited once a week. Quote, says Rabbi Pesach Kron, this is what family is all about. That is the Rebbetzin's final lesson. Quote, no matter what you do for the public, do not forget about your family. Quote, to be involved with the whole world and not your family would be a terrible sacrifice. If anyone has a sefer, you want to know exactly where I'm quoting from, it's the Maggid at the podium, pages 89 through 90. No matter what you do for the public, and it's so interesting because this is really echoed in the life of Rabbi Tarfon. First in the biography, we learned all about what he did for other people. And then interestingly, the biography tells us what he did for his family, his wife, his children, his parents. To be involved with the whole world and not with your family would be a terrible sacrifice. Concludes Rabbi Pesach Kron, may Hashem help us. We're able to bring all these wonderful lessons we have learned about the Rebbetzin into our own lives. I'm now also quoting from another tremendous tzaddikes who lived in our day and age, who, when we talk about these Nashim Tzidkaniyos, certainly we may feel we can, maybe not you, I can never be like them. I even if you live your whole life trying. Someone said to me, a number of people said to me, when the Henny Malchus biography came out, it made them very uncomfortable. So I was so moved, I cried when it was over. So I didn't want the book to end. So they said they just felt so intimidated. So it's true. My daughter also went to the Machuses a couple of times already. I never went, but she said it was an amazing experience. So one of my boys said they still do it because, of course, Rabbeinu Machus is no longer alive, Alel Shalom. So we shouldn't feel intimidated. We should feel inspired to do what we can on our level. The Chazon Ish used to say, the best Musar is stories of Gedolim. And that includes, of course, the Tzidkaniyos, Bizchar Nashim Tzidkaniyos, but also Dor Negala Yisrael Mimitzrayim, so it's 11b. So we should learn, and we should do whatever we can on our level. Not to say I'm so intimidated I can't, but to say on my level, welcome Michal Horowitz Duke, learning from the ways of these righteous women. So I now quote the exact same theme and lessons. Now, Rebbetzin Malchus, Rabbeinu Malchus, did for the whole world. My daughter was telling me about what the meal there was like. I mean, if there was a home that was open to all. One of the stories Rabbi Malchus told at the Levaya was of the man who knocked on their door at 3 o'clock in the morning, their bedroom door, and said to Henny, they said, why are you here? It's the middle of the night. He said, I need Henny to show me how to make homemade whole wheat pizza. So Rabbi Malchus was very upset. It was the middle of the night. No one knocks on their bedroom door. It's the front door that was always left open. And he said, it's a test. And she got up and she showed him. So if there was anyone who did for the whole entire world, who was a true bastion of Gemilas Chesed, by the way, I'm not suggesting that that's something that we should even try to be emulating, especially where we live in our society. Bad idea. Don't do that. Davin, nobody should ever be knocking on your bedroom door in the middle of the night. Hashem Yishmar, Hinei Lo Yon V'Loishan Shemar Yisrael. When we talk about bastions of Chesed, these are truly tzaddikim and tzidkaniyot who donated one time of Ari Levine to not show up at the prison. And they were so frantic. He always came, whether it snowed. Sometimes it snows in Jerusalem. We had it 2 weeks ago. Whether it rained all day today. My husband said it was very cold and rainy. Whether it was boiling hot, it's boiling hot when Hashem takes the sun out of its sheath. No matter what, Rav Ari Levine went to the prisoners. One time he didn't come and they were so frantic. What could possibly have happened? He was like their father. But it must be balanced out with doing for your family as well. Perhaps Henny's greatest miracle is that with the thousands of guests, hundreds of people she canceled, and dozens of adopted children, her own children always felt like the primary recipients of her attention and love. Even more extraordinary, each one of her children declared, I had a special relationship with my mother. Each one felt like an only child. She had 14 children. As Elisheva testified, we were 14 kids. Every one of our friends thought we were the richest people and each of us was an only child. Ima never let us go to school, neglected. Every day we wore clean clothing and our hair was in neat braids. She always took care of us. I don't know how she did it. She just did. Considering all she did, said her niece Sarala, all the shiurim she gave, all the people she served, all the people she counseled on a daily basis, it appeared to be totally impossible. But no, go ask her children, and they will tell you. They all felt as if they were number one. You know, recently, Rabbi Shmuel Golden, I sometimes quote from his set on the Torah, Unlocking the Torah Text, on my Parsha Kassis. So he used to be the head of the RCA and a rabbi in New Jersey. And then a few summers ago, him and his wife, Barbara, made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And recently, somebody who learns with me, who knows Maxine Summerstein, who knows that I quote from Rabbi Shmuel Golden and enjoy his farm, she said to me a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, do you know Rabbi Shmuel Golden sitting for Shiva in Far Rockaway? I said, Rabbi Shmuel Golden from the RCA, Rabbi Shmuel Golden from Unlocking the Torah Text, Rabbi Shmuel Golden from Eretz Yisrael. She said, yes. I said, please give me the address. His sister had passed away. She was she lived around the corner from Tag in Far Rockaway. Two of her daughters are teachers in Tag. She was a teacher in Haftar, I think, for over 20 years. Does anyone know who I'm speaking about? His sister was Niftaris. So I went there, and I didn't know who he was. I've never met him in person. I asked somebody. He was sitting upstairs. He didn't want to contract COVID, and he wasn't downstairs with all the crowds. I asked if I could go upstairs, so I went upstairs. And he said something so interesting that he said at the Levaya, there is a book, Cheaper by the Dozen. Before, apparently, it was a movie, it was a book. His sister said she was in her early 60s. She was diagnosed in Iftaris within a year. She was a young woman, and she had 9 children. And in the introduction to the book, this is what he told me when I went to Rabbi Menachem Aval, he shared this about his sister. In the introduction to the book, the author writes, listen carefully, to my father, who I want to say right, to my father who only had 12 children, and to my mother who had 12 only children. I'm going to say it again. And he was saying this. He said this about his sister. He said two things that he said in his hasbet. I think he said for one is this, and another she was a planter. She was always planting because she was a mechanechas. So he said in the book Cheaper by the Dozen, the author writes, to my father who only had 12 children, and to my mother who had 12 only children. He said that's who my sister was. She had 9 only children. Hani Machas, who did for the whole entire world. Any of her children would testify, they felt like an only child. But Sheva's story. When I went into kindergarten, I was 4 years old. I cried, and my mother stayed with me all morning. The teacher told my mother, we don't do this. My mother didn't leave. She said, I need my daughter to be calm. All of my siblings like peanut butter sandwiches, so that's what my mother sent them for lunch in school. I didn't like peanut butter, so every day my mother made me a tuna sandwich. For 8 years, she always made me a tuna sandwich. She would always try to make it different. She diced onions or cucumbers. Someone once told my mother, what, you have 14 children? You think your children get undivided attention? So my mother said, I daven to Hashem that my children should feel loved, that my children should feel special. I have so many friends who grew up as an only child, and they said, we don't know who our parents are. They work all day. On Shabbos, they sleep or read the newspaper. I am my parents' 11th child, said Bat Sheva. I met someone up north a few months ago. We talked for a while. She says, how many children do you come from? I said, a house of 14. She said, what? I would have thought after speaking to you, you're an only child and you grew up in a mansion. And I said to her, I did grow up as an only child, and I did grow up in a mansion. It was not a mansion, and she was not biologically an only child. I just think it's such an important lesson. As I've become older, and my children have become older, I've learned that a person only has X amount of kochos in life. And of course, we have to do for others. So no one's going to leave here and say, Micharas HaVishanat. That's not what I'm saying. And of course we have to uphold these organizations, and of course we have to be machnas orchem. But it can't be at the expense of the people the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you, who are the closest to in your life. Whether you have 1 only child, or 9 only children, or 14 only children, or somewhere between 1 and that number. The people closest to us should never be losing out because of tzorchei tzibur, because these are the people the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us in our lives to take care of. Henny taught this. And with this we'll end. It says about Rachel Imenu, It's a beautiful insight in Yirmiyahu, very famous. Rachel mevaka al banah, you know, okay? Kol barama nishma nihi b'chi tamrumim, Rachel mevaka al banah, me'ein ali nachem al banah, ki einenu ko amar Hashem, mini kolich mi bechi, me'einayich mi dima, ki yesh schar li pulatech, v'yesh tichva la acharitech, v'shavu banim l'gvulam. Okay, Rachel, not okay, halavai, we should just see the v'shavu banim l'gvulam, and yesh tichva la acharitech already. Okay, it's from Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph. Rachel mevaka al banah, ki einenu. And this is from Henny's Torah teaching in the book. There's gray boxes that are her teachings verbatim. She is crying over her children. The pasuk says she refuses to be comforted for her children, for they are no longer. The word baneha is plural. She is crying al baneha. She's crying over her children. Ki einenu is singular. He is no longer here, so it doesn't go together. She's crying over her children, plural. They are no longer here. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. She's crying over her children, plural, because he is no longer here, singular. It should have said in the plural, ki einam, mem sofis, they are not here. For Rachel imenu, every one of us is singular. Rachel teaches us to cry over your children like each child is an only child. And for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we are all like Hashem's only child. By the way, that ties into last week. Hashem measures each of us individually, like we said. And with our children, they should also be like our only child. Every child should be like the only one. So Rabbi Tarfon teaches us a lot about doing for others. And we all must live a life. We're going to go up after 120. They're going to say, what did you do for Klal Yisrael? It's a strong kasha. What did we do for Klal Yisrael? But they're also going to say, Hashem's going to say, what did you do for the people in your home, the people I gave you in your life, the neshamas I sent to accompany you on this journey in Olam Hazeh? So Rabbi Tarfon did for a bride, and he did for 300 women, and he gave back the money when it came to the pigeon haben, and he gave tzedakah. However, he also made sure to buy his wife shoes and clothing before Yom Tov, and the children nuts, and he made sure that when his mother needed to get into bed, he made the step stool his own body. He put down his feet when she didn't have shoes. Because when Avram Avinu is the Bechinas Chasar, Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid Ala Torah Ve'Avod Ve'Gmilas Chasadim. And each one corresponds to a different patriarch. And Avram is the Bechina of Gmilas Chasad. But when did he get his white coat? And I read you Mamash Lashon of the Medrash. When did he get his white coat? When he did for his wife. Any normal person would do for his wife. But Hashem wants to teach us, like Rabbi Pesach Kron says about Reb Tzin Kanievsky, to do for the whole world and neglect your family. That'd be a terrible tragedy. And it's something we struggle with, and it's something we have to balance. Well, you have to think very carefully and long and hard before you put the needs of your immediate family aside, if they're legitimate, strong needs. To do for others, it should never be at their expense. You buried your wife, says Hashem. Now you get a white coat. Now I know, through your whole life of chesed, you did for your wife, now you took my midah. Shali haisa midah zos v'ata achaztaba. Now you get a white coat. Something, a lot of food for thought. We should all think about this and try and implement it into our lives and have the siyata d'shmai to know the balance between tzarchei tzibur and the white coat for taking care of your family. So I really thank, where did she go? Jody Kofsky, where are you? I really thank you all the way from Sydney, Australia. Did she have to go? I wouldn't be surprised. It's almost Shabbos probably over there, no? Hopefully she'll listen to the rest of my Torah. We thank Jody Kofsky very, very much all the way from Sydney, Australia for her dedication to this year and her sponsorship of tonight's year. We wish her a good Shabbos in Australia, and I wish all of you a wonderful Shabbos. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you. We have a sponsor for next week, Baruch Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Laila Tov and good Shabbos. Thank you so much.